Hey, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. Well, welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What are you up to today?
Just got done detailing for a buddy of mine.
Nice.
At home, trying to relax.
Oh, yeah. So you're going to do this and I'm going to have a little fun.
That's right. That's right.
All right, man. You've been listening to these. You know the first question. Do I really have to ask you?
Let's see. How did I get into detailing and all that good stuff?
Yes, sir.
Well, I've always had a passion for cleaning cars when I was my parents' vehicles. And when I got to my first vehicle, I was washing the thing like once a week. And then as I got older, I think I ended up living in Jacksonville, and I was washing my truck one day in the driveway on the Navy base, and my neighbor come over and was like, "Hey, how much would you charge to do my Jeep?" And I just laughed at her, and I was like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'll pay you." She's like, "You do a good job." She's like, "How much you charge?" I said, "I don't know, like $20. And she's like, "Well, when can I bring it to you?" I was like, "After I get done with my truck." So she brought it over to me. I cleaned it up real quick, and then my wife told me, she's like, "You need to maybe look at, you know, doing this as a side business." So we started posting stuff on Facebook, and next thing you know, like, all the Navy wives were bringing me their vehicles as their husbands were deployed and everything to keep them clean. It became a good little side hustle. I had no clue what I was doing. You know, I was this little black magic car wash and one bucket and call it good.
Hey, man, we all start somewhere.
So
some of us are still starting. I mean,
but no, you know, once I got out of the Coast Guard and we moved back to Tennessee and bought our house, I had taken a lot of time off between doing it here. We bought our house. Right. I told her, I said, I think I'm going to get back into this detailing thing. And, but this time I wanted to take it a little more serious. So I started doing some research. I started, watching YouTube videos, and, I bought into the Chemical Guys hype right at the beginning because, you know, that's everything that popped up on YouTube was Chemical Guys.
Right.
And then I jumped into some of these Facebook groups and I started realizing that there were bigger and better things than Chemical Guys. And just eventually started teaching myself more and more things and more skills, and ended up leading to paint correction and ceramic coatings, which have now blown up in my area. And I've actually started helping out some of these guys in my area that are wanting to get into detailing. So it's actually, I mean, it's awesome, opened some doors for me. So,
yeah. Now, did you do any training or anything like that, or was everything just watching old Masterson videos and picking it up yourself, kind of?
Everything's been just watching videos and you know, and talking to guys like you and Aaron Knox and Bruno, and everything that I do, you know, I haven't been to any kind of trainings. Everything I've done has just been on my own. I practice. Right. And luckily I've got a patrol car I can practice on, and I've got my wife's vehicle on my truck. So I don't actually put anything or do anything to a customer's vehicle until I feel 100% that I can do it without messing something up. So,
yeah, and the cool thing with, you know, especially with social media these days, is, you know, not to knock, you know, going to trainings or anything like that, because I do feel like that's something that is kind of important or whatever. But a lot of times, you know, you could just throw it out there, you know, in any of the groups or something, and somebody will be able to help you out and kind of, you know, kind of give you on the job training, so to speak. I mean, I kind of had that today with Noxy. I was a little unsure about some Alcantara cleaning. So I reached out to him. I was like, "Hey, man, how are you doing this? Because I've seen it, you know, a couple of different ways, and I'm not really sure." And he was able to, you know, kind of tell me what to do, and what I was doing was kind of what he said to do. And so, yeah, I mean, it's that's kind of the cool thing.
That's, yeah, that,
with the
that's definitely, like, I'm thinking I found some of these groups, especially Paint Assassins. I can't remember how I even came across Paint Assassins. I think I got invited to the group or something. And at that point, like, I was not into paint correction at all. I think I'd done one paint correction job on a buddy's patrol car.
Right.
And it turned out good, but I guess knowing everything I know now, like, I did everything wrong. it was, you know, I look back and I'm like, God, that was terrible. But he was happy with the results. So, I mean, it was happy, I guess. But, you know, the paint assassin group.
That's how I always think.
Yeah, man, that's what I tell people, you know, especially some of these younger guys in my area that are getting the detail, and they're like, you know, I'm such a perfectionist, da-da-da-da. And I'm like, look, you're not going to get a vehicle 100% perfect unless you're Aaron Knox, you know, come on. But no, it's like
– All right, stop talking about him. We've mentioned him. We've already met our quota for this episode. All right.
Oh, we take the shots every time we say his name? Is that what we're doing? But no,
I don't know.
You know, I tell these guys, I'm like, look, you know, don't worry about perfection. Don't worry about, you know, getting everything right. It's like,
right,
your customer comes, picks up the car, and they're happy and they're smiling and they say, hey, it looks a lot better than it did, or it looks better than the day I drove it off a lot. I said, there's what you aim for. I mean, we're here to please our customers. I'm not out here to please everybody else. As long as my customer's happy, that's what I care about.
Yeah, and I think that's a little bit of the hard part, though, when you're a detailer is, you know, especially when you've got all your lights on and, you know, you see things differently than the client or the customer, you know, and you're always like, at least I feel I do, I'm always stressing, like, oh my God, you know, whatever. And then the client gets there and they're like, you know, it doesn't even matter to them that you could, you know, if you're laying on your back looking up at the sun at the right angle, you're going to see this one little tiny hairline scratch, you know, that, you know, they don't care. They're not seeing that. So that's something, you know, that I definitely have to tell myself sometimes too, is, you know, as long as the client's happy, who cares?
And I get the same way at times.
What's going on?
I'm the same way at times. I'm very OCD when it comes to cleaning and detailing. And, you know, a lot of times it's like, I feel like I'm going overboard. Man, at the end of the day, are they really going to know something that they're going to see?
Yeah.
Talking about the lights. God, lights drive me nuts. Lights are the biggest nightmare for a detailer, I swear.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten pretty lazy with lights lately. I just kind of do it, and then I take my handheld and I look at it with my handheld and just pray that
that's about
good.
How I am. I, you know, every now and then I'll set up my lights, but for the most part, with a handheld, I've got a 5 or 750 lumen light that I got when I joined the police department, and usually that's what I use, and that gives me, you know, everything I need to see.
Yeah, because that's so much more powerful than, you know, your stand light or your wall lights. You know, your stand light or your wall lights, the car could look great, especially black cars. And then you hit it with that handheld and you're like, you know, like, got to go again kind of thing. So, yeah, I've gotten kind of lazy with my lights. I don't use them as much anymore. I just use that handheld and.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am. I really need to start using it. I never really understood, I guess.
Did I lose you? First podcast with technical difficulties? All right, well, thank you for listening to the Gray Scott episode of the podcast. Oh, wait. You there?
Yeah, I'm having trouble. It's like in and out.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. I was like, man, the first one we're going to have difficulties on, you're actually going to make me have to try and edit it.
Yeah, sitting over here like, what's going on? What's going on?
I don't know if I can leave that much dead space.
Always.
I'm going to have to figure this out, though.
First time for everything.
Yeah. Thanks for
my bad.
Thanks for being the first.
Yeah, it's always.
Yeah,
I'm always that guy. Everything. I'm not that guy.
Yeah. No worries. All right, so like I haven't even really got into questions yet, man. So I'm gonna jump into the first question since we got a little bit of a break here.
Let's go.
Okay, so working part time, is it harder to do like your bigger service jobs, like your I guess like your big ticket jobs, like ceramic coatings, things like that that take multiple days? Or do you typically stay with like kind of your smaller services, things that you can, pound out in a couple hours or pound out in a day, things like that?
It's definitely not easy because, working full time as a law enforcement officer 40 hours a week, I'm only able to really detail my days off, which are Thursdays and Fridays right
Right.
now. So I've got one customer that I maintain for on a weekly basis. And then so he takes up a lot of my time.
Right.
But some of my big ticket guys, the ceramic coatings, I usually try to book at least one a month. And most of the guys that I get, I'm able to do, a one step and a coating and call it good. Every now and then
Right.
I'll get a vehicle where I've got to do a two step and I'm going to work 12 to 14 hours on it. But it definitely takes a toll doing this part time versus full time because obviously I have a full time job. So it takes away, obviously, from my
Right.
family. It takes away from me getting to do everything. But at the same time, it's a freaking, I mean, it's a, definitely difficult. But I don't know. I like to stay
Right.
busy. I like to keep myself
And
busy.
right. Is there any times when you just don't, like, hey, I need to spend time with the family, so you don't book, or do you try to book something, on a weekly
Oh
basis or
no,
whatever, just to keep yourself busy?
there's plenty of times where I'm like, I'm not gonna book anything this weekend, or I'm not gonna do anything this week, or I'll sit there and
Right.
pray for rain, or I'll look at the forecast, oh yes, it's gonna rain this week. There are times where I kind of burn my a little bit, and I have to take a step back and kind of take a breath and have a few days for myself, and then jump back in it. Like
Right.
for instance, now today was the first day I've detailed in about 2.5 or 3 weeks. Part of that's due to weather, and part of that's due to because I've been so busy here lately that I've kind of burned myself out, and I don't want to get to that point. So I did take a step back, and the last few weeks I've spent with my family and getting to go out and do the things that I enjoy doing, and I decided to finally step back into it and try to get back in a groove.
Oh, nice. Nice. Now, something you kind of touched on a little bit in the beginning. You not that a lot of people don't do it, but you do a lot of mentoring, and you're kind of very vocal about it in the sense of, like, hey, I talk with this guy, or you'll make posts where, this guy in my town came by and, was asking me questions and things like that. Is that something that just kind of came natural to you, or is that something you really wanted to do? Because I know a lot of detailers, myself included, especially if it's somebody in town, obviously you kind of, get a little reserved, put your guard up, you don't want to give them too many secrets. So, how do you feel about that, or how does that, come about to you, just something natural?
Well, absolutely. I've always, helping people in any way I can. And the detailing thing for me, especially, like I tell these guys, I don't, others are coming up and they're charging this amount or that amount. It doesn't bother me because at the end of the day, I have my clientele, they're going to have theirs. We've got plenty of people around here, plenty of vehicles around here to detail. I obviously can't detail every vehicle around here, and I'm not going to try to. I will reach out to these guys that I see up and coming, and I'll say, hey, if there's anything that I can do to help you out to expand your game into detailing, feel free to reach out. If you need to come over and look at some of my products and, talk about product usage and everything, then we'll go over that. So far, I think I've mentored probably about four or five guys in my area, and I'm currently mentoring a
Oh,
couple
nice.
right now that are wanting to get into ceramic coatings and wanting to get into paint correction, which I'm not a paint correction like master by no means. There's a lot.
Hey, all right, he's back.
All right, let's try this again.
Yeah, one more time. And take two. Okay, so again, we were talking about mentoring people, and you got a
Yes.
couple of guys in your town that are that you're helping out. But we didn't catch the end of it.
Yeah, so, all right, so a couple guys have reached out to me wanting tips and tricks and everything on how to better their skills at paint correction. So I've offered, my services to help them out, to help them further their game. I've told them, I said, look, I'm not a master of this. I've only been doing paint corrections for a couple years. I don't do them every detail, obviously, but, I do know enough to where I feel like I'm confident to make them better, at it. So anyway, I've worked with a few guys on paint correction and tips over the phone through Messenger, and I've also done hands-on with some of the guys as well.
Right.
One of these guys, I'm getting ready to go. He's got a truck that belonged to his best friend who passed away last year, so I'm gonna go to his house at some point. We're gonna get it paint corrected and ceramic coated, and I'm obviously gonna do it for free, and that way it's helps him out. So.
Yeah, I think I saw you post about that. That's a pretty awesome thing you're gonna do. Not a lot of guys would do that, but that's pretty awesome. Let's see where I'm at. I'm lost track of my notes because we're having difficulties here. All right. So, what do you feel has been your biggest achievement as a detailer?
Biggest achievement, man, probably getting nominated for up and coming Assassin of the Year.
Now you're jumping forward like a couple of questions, so don't talk too much about it. But
All right.
congratulations. But no, we can skip. So that's a couple of questions away. But congratulations on being nominated for Up and Coming Paint Assassin of the Year. Tell me, what was going through your mind when you found out about that? How did that make you feel?
I was really kind of taken aback and shocked because, I don't consider myself at all to be like anybody in the industry.
Right.
I'm just another guy, is kind of how I feel. I'm a small town dude. So when I found out about it, I was very, very shocked, but at the same time, very excited. And it's a little nerve-wracking as well because there's some big names in that category.
Yeah.
So I'm over here like, man, I'm gonna have to really bust my butt to try to get this.
Yeah, we talked to one of your competitors last week, Jason Joseph. So yeah, you guys got a lot of competition in that one. I've got a lot of competition in Paint Assassin
Oh yeah,
this year.
you've got your work cut out for you, and I'm glad I'm not in that category.
Here's the way I look at it. I look at it differently than a lot of the other contests in Paint Assassins, because it's not really about like one picture or one video, right? It's a work as a whole. It's your mentality towards the group, helping other detailers out, being active. And it's a lot more than just like, where reflection of the week or paint correction of the month or paint correction of the year is, submitting your best work and hoping that you beat out these, what Paint Assassin's 800, 900 something,
Oh yeah.
members now. So, I look at it as a little bit of like, okay, whew, I don't have to submit something to compete against these guys, because I mean, I don't know if I'm capable of carrying their shoes around in a bag,
Oh yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping that maybe everything else that I do is a big help. But yeah, it's definitely some stiff competition in all the groups, all the way through. I mean, even into the distributor group.
Oh yeah, all the categories are stacked.
I mean, I don't know everybody who nominated, is cool, but I thank everybody who at least nominated me, but everybody who nominated everybody else. But man, it's like, whew, I think Jason could have had himself in trouble there with, 10 or 20,
Oh yeah.
nominations in each
Oh,
category kind of
absolutely.
deal.
Yeah, for me, man, it's like, and I've told my wife, I've told my friends and family, I said, if I win, great, that's awesome. That'd be a great accomplishment. But just to be nominated, dude, I'm humbled by that. Just to be considered among all the people that are part of Paint Assassins, I mean, so
It's a huge, huge honor and acknowledgement, as far as, the peers in the group, and in the industry, feeling that way.
oh yeah, absolutely.
So we've talked about a little bit for people who maybe don't know you that are listening. Obviously, you are an officer of the law, Sergeant Gray Scott, for
That
that
is
matter.
me. That is me.
I don't want to get too political with this. It's not really what we're about, but I do feel like you're the perfect person to ask in these times. How is it in your town, first of all? I mean, I know you're kind of small town Tennessee. Are you guys having any kind of issues protesting, things like that? And then, maybe as, officer of the law side, how are you feeling? And we don't have to delve into like crazy specifics, but as an officer, do you feel about everything that's going on, especially like when you suit up to go to work every day, knowing that, all these people have so much, hate now for cops and defund the police and, all this, nonsense, I'm gonna call it that, that's going on in our country right now.
That's a good word for it, nonsense. So the first part of the question, as far as the protests and stuff go, my town, we've had a few protests initially, and we met with the people that were organizing the protest, and we told them, we said, hey, look, we don't mind if you guys protest, it's fine, as long as it stays peaceful. If it goes beyond peaceful, or if people start showing up and trying to act reckless, we're going to step in and we're going to intervene. We're not just going to let you tear up our town. And for the most part, the protests we had, they were peaceful. We didn't have any issues at all. We actually had about 8 or 9 officers that were hand selected by our chief, that out and kind of not necessarily participated, but we were there to show our support. And we marched with them, just to show that we're trying to be unified as one. We obviously don't want to separate ourselves from our community because we have a very strong pro-police community that I work in. As far as like, man, I tell you, being a police officer right now, police officer years ago, when the Ferguson, Missouri stuff was going on, the police academy, when all of that was happening. So I became a police officer kind of at a wrong time to begin with, because at that point is when we really started getting the target painted on our back. And now it seems like every year something happens that increases that target. So getting ready for work every morning and putting on a uniform, knowing that I have a target painted on my back on a daily basis, I mean, it's nerve-wracking. I'm not going to lie, it's stressful. I do stress about it. I say a prayer every morning when I get my patrol car to keep myself and my coworkers safe. Just because you never know. I mean, you never know what's going to happen on the traffic stop. You never know what's going to happen on the call you're going to.
Man, if
All
it can go, if it can go wrong, it's gonna
right.
go wrong with this
Jesus.
episode.
Well, somebody tried to call me and I was like, no, I've told people not to call me. Oh, Jesus.
Nice.
Listen, we're going to get through this. It might be midnight, but we'll get through this some point
Dude,
tonight.
and it sucks too because that was such a great question and you were on a great answer and yeah.
All
So
right,
okay,
so
so we'll pick it up.
I think I know where I'm picking it.
Yeah.
So,
All right.
Yeah, back to it. Yeah, every morning I go to work, man. I'm not gonna lie, it is nerve-wracking. I would definitely be lying if there's not if I said there's no fear, because there obviously is a fear.
Right.
I say a prayer every morning when I get my patrol car, to keep myself safe, obviously to keep my coworkers safe, because at the end of the day, I am responsible for my coworkers being a sergeant.
Right.
So I am responsible for my officers, and I'm responsible for their safety. But where I live in Tennessee, we are a hub between Kentucky and Mississippi. We have a U.S. highway that runs directly from Kentucky through our town down to all the way to Mississippi. So
Okay.
we get travelers. You know, it's not just people in our town. We get travelers from Memphis and Nashville and Mississippi and, you know, Illinois. I mean, everywhere.
Right.
So that's what I tell people is like, especially our new officers. I'm like, look, you know, the people in our town, yes, for the most part, they're all good people. You don't have to worry about anything. What you have to worry about is the people that are traveling through our town. You know, you don't know who's coming through. You don't know if somebody that you're stopping has just committed a murder in another state,
Right.
or if they're carrying a buttload of dope and, you know, have warrants out for their arrest and are not ready to go back to jail. Like, you have no idea what you're getting into. So every traffic stop is, I mean, it's definitely a nerve-wracking thing. Every call you go to is a nerve-wracking thing, just because you don't know what you're getting into when you go.
Right.
So I mean, it's, you know, I take it one day at a time. My goal at the end of the day, just as every other officer in this world, my goal at the end of the day is to make it home. You know, whatever I got to do to make it home. So I've got a family that depends on me. I have friends that depend on me, so.
Right. And so with the changes that are going on, are you guys doing anything different as far as like training wise goes, or just hey, let's make sure we're doing the things that we're supposed to do so we don't have any of these issues? Or is it something that again, like we hear on the news, it's not every cop's a bad cop, and maybe somebody just, didn't follow protocol or procedure or whatever that time, things escalate, heat of the moment, adrenaline pumping kind of deal.
So we have a we just had a new policy and procedure book written, and we had it written by a law firm that's what they do. They specifically write policies and procedures for police departments across the United States. And we had a committee that met to go over the policies, and that's one thing that we do is, you know, as a supervisor for me, I study that policy and procedure book every day, and I go over it with my guys on my shift to make sure they understand everything. So we haven't really changed anything about how we do our job. It's, you know, a matter of just be tactical, you know, don't get lackadaisical. Go out there
Yeah.
and always keep your head on a swivel, because you never know, you know, at any point anything can happen. The moment you put your guard down or let your guard down, you know, that's when you're most prone to something happening. So it's, you know, we have to tell our guys on a daily basis, look, you know, be tactical in everything you do. Don't Just because you pull over a 70-year-old grandma, don't assume that, you know, she can't hurt you, because
Right.
if she's packing a gun, she has every, I mean, she has every the entire ability in the world to hurt you. So
Yeah.
just because, you know, you stop somebody that seems innocent doesn't mean it that's what it is. So you gotta keep your head on a swivel and gotta watch each other's back, and just do your best. So.
Right. Now, lighten it up a little bit. When you watch police shows and police movies, you're like, psh, man, they're doing it all wrong.
My wife laughs at me, man. I cannot watch a police show or a movie that involves cops, because I'm so picky. Like, I pick it apart. Like Live PD, for instance. We watch Live PD religiously every weekend. But I would sit there on the couch, and she would get annoyed at me, because I'm like, God, man, I can't believe he's doing this or he's doing that. You know, I'm like, I wouldn't do it this way. And she's like, I can't even enjoy this because all you're doing is picking them apart.
Right, but I'm not talking about live PD. I'm talking about like Brooklyn Nine-Nine
oh God,
or
no.
911
No,
or
no.
Hawaii Five-0,
Oh my
something,
God.
you know.
Those shows, don't get me wrong, those shows are good. They are good, but they're cringeworthy at best. It's like that's not what happened. That's not what goes on in police work. And
No, of
what people
course
don't
not.
understand, it's so funny, man. I can't tell you how many times I'll arrest somebody and I'll get them to the station. They're like, "Well, you didn't read me my rights." I'm like, "Dude, you don't understand. You need to stop watching CSI. You need to stop watching these cop shows. I don't have to read you your rights just because I arrest you." And I mean, I probably get that once or twice a day, at least. Is you didn't read me my rights. Why aren't you reading my rights? So, but yeah, cop shows are cringy. They're very cringeworthy. They're good. I mean, it's good entertainment and they're definitely fun to watch, but at the same time, it's like, do not get that mixed up with what goes on in real life.
Yeah, so you're not out there trying to be John McClane
Dude, I'm not out there trying to
or
chase everybody. No. I don't have a foot pursuit every day, like every call. No. And if somebody does, if somebody's running, I'm just like, really? This is not my cardio day. Let's not do this right now.
right. You just fire a warning shot and take him down,
That's
kind of deal.
exactly what I do, Just hop over 8-foot fences and tackle them and
Keanu Reeves in Point Break style.
that's it. That's it.
Yeah, man. That's
So I'm like,
awful. All right. Man, with all the things that have happened in this thing, I'm all over the place on my questions. We jumped back and forth on my questions too, with things that have happened. I think that might be. Where are we at? I'm sorry for everybody who's listening to this episode. This is not going to be the best one. I think that puts us at almost kind of time too. So I'm going to follow. I'm gonna, you know, dude, you know the question I'm going to ask you, man. But I'm going to switch it up for you.
Oh
All
God.
right.
Oh God.
Obviously we want to know if anybody wants to, anybody who doesn't already know you and wants to reach out to you, man. Obviously, we want to know your Facebook, your Instagram, your TikTok, because I know you're on TikTok now. We might have to talk about that for a little bit. If you got a Snapchat, if you got an OnlyFans, but most importantly, what I want you to tell people is where they can send you Krispy Kremes, because we know you don't have a Krispy Kreme in Milan, Texas. And come on, man. Cops got to have a Krispy Kreme every now and then.
Well, first of all, it's Tennessee. You said Texas.
Oh, my bad. My
No, you're
bad.
good.
Yeah,
No,
whatever.
so
They all start with a T.
listen,
So,
if you guys want to
yeah.
send me Krispy Kreme donuts, I'm all for it. If you want my address, hit me up on my Facebook Messenger. I'll send you my address. As long as you're gonna send me Krispy Kremes, don't be sending me like anything creepy. I just leave that out. But Krispy Kremes, I'll accept all day because I am a cop and I do love donuts and I will let that be known to the world. I have no shame in my game, so.
But I know you, and so for everybody who's listening, don't think you can slide Gray some Dunkin' Donuts, because he will
No.
throw them bitches in the
No,
trash.
if you send me Dunkin' Donuts, they will definitely be I will actually film a video of me throwing them in the trash and tag whoever sent them to me.
Got to be Krispy Kreme or an equivalent of
Yes.
type deal. Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so where can everybody find you?
All right, so I am obviously on Facebook, Gray Scott. I have a Facebook page for my detailing business called Blue Line Detailing. I also have a Instagram. It's Blue Line Detailing or something like that. If you want to find me on Instagram, just message me and I'll send you my info. I do have Snapchat. I don't use it very often. And yes, I am on TikTok now. I have kind of it, dude, seriously, I've kind of blown up on TikTok and it's pretty insane. Like,
I love how you like I've blown up on TikTok. Like
no, but
a
seriously.
14-year-old girl in you has come out like, "Oh,
No,
popular TikTok."
it's insane. You know that term like TikTok famous or whatever that everybody
Yeah,
uses.
I know
So
my daughter on the daily is trying to become TikTok famous, so yeah, I know.
then I started posting on TikTok like 2.5 weeks ago, and I've hit today, this morning, 1,000 followers. So, and I've got a big group of cops that I'm a part of on TikTok. There's like 40 of us that we're going to start posting content together. Nice. And eventually, what people don't realize is eventually once you get big enough is you get paid. Like I have a friend in Maryland who just hit 100,000 followers in TikTok, contacted her and said, "Hey, we want you to be a creator. We're going to pay you $45 a video."
Wow. Not bad.
So this group that I'm in, that's kind of what we're going to be actually getting in paid for, basically posting our content. I'm actually getting paid already by my followers. Like I get during, when I go live, you can go live in TikTok and kind of promote yourself. So when you go live, people will send you gifts, and those gifts actually translate into cash. So I've made quite a bit of money off of TikTok in that. So I'm like, man, this could actually turn into something good.
Forget OnlyFans. You're making money on TikTok. What are you?
Exactly. I'm not trying to get on OnlyFans. Come on.
Right. Exactly. There's already enough white chocolates out there in the world.
No, don't.
I didn't say anything.
It's another.
Hey, I didn't say anything. You're the one keep talking about it. All right. Well, I think by the time that I piece these three or four pieces together, we're gonna be at our 45-50 minutes. So, I don't have any more questions for you. This has been fun. It's gonna be challenging. Hopefully, everybody who's listening to this can deal with it. If not, then you've already got all great Scott's information. You can call him and tell him how shitty his cell phone service is.
Gripe at me. Look, we've had cell phone towers that have been down for the last day and a half, and they just come back up today. So, yeah, if you guys got an issue, call me, let me know, text me. I don't care. I'm always that guy, and I'm happy to be that guy. So,
yeah, no, we appreciate it, man. Thank you again for everything that you do, even though you're not a part of protecting my community. I feel like you're still protecting us. And we appreciate, at least I do when I say we, we appreciate everything you do in the detailing community. Again, you know, I see you not only in the Pain Assassins groups, I see you in a lot of the groups trying to, whether people want it or not, give them some sage advice, and kind of point them in the right way. So I think, you know, you are definitely one of the top tier detailer guys, you know, in this industry. And I know, you know, you're part-time guy and don't do it as much and won't take the credit as much, but you definitely are, you know, an inspiration for me to keep trying to be better and do better. That's why I'm glad that you and I, you know, talk pretty much on a daily basis for the most part. It's always a good fun time. So thank you again, man, for being on here.
Absolutely. I definitely appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah. No, you were, definitely, you know, one of the ones I wanted to talk to, especially with, you know, kind of your situation, because, you know, most other detailers are just detailers, you know, they don't do anything else. So that's why I kind of thought it would be kind of cool to talk to somebody who does it part-time and kind of get a little bit of some insight on, you know, what it's like to try and do it part-time. Cause I do it full-time. Well, I mean, I do it part-time, but it's still a full-time job for me. I just work part-time hours, you know, as much as the boss will let me, I work part-time hours.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right, buddy. Well, I'm going to jump off and try to put all this stuff together. You have a great night, and we'll talk at you soon.
All right, man. Appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Okay, everybody. Man, what a crazy episode. If you've made it this far, thank you, thank you, thank you. So between the barking dogs on Gray's end, my dog's going crazy, Gray's phone going in and out, this has been a good learning experience, I guess, as far as episodes go. I guess they all can't go start to finish as easy as the last couple of ones have. So thank you for listening again. Please check us out on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, iTunes, and wherever you listen to us. Please give us a like, give us a review, subscribe so that you get the alert for when the new episodes drop. We really appreciate it. And next week, I'm not sure what's going on next week. Obviously, you guys have caught on to the whole Aaron Knox thing. So Aaron Knox is not going to be on next week. You guys kind of already know that. But we'll see what's going on. Thank you again. Appreciate it. You guys have a great day or night or whatever, whenever you're listening to this. Take care.